by Cormac McCarthy, pages 95 to 122. This section begins with the idea of the moment. In the moment we're discussing is as the people hunt for the man and his son, the man is plagued with this idea that this is the moment he's been thinking about and preparing for as long as we've seen him in the story. And we have to assume that this predates our time with them in the book. The moment we're talking about is the question of if he needs to kill his son, and or the scenario that we're seeing here, that he has prepared his son to kill himself while he distracts this group of people. And it's a super intense scene. He's asking the son, can you do this? The boy is panicking. And he's not saying do it right away. He's saying if they come to catch you, you need to do this before they grab you, before they get you. And through this intense emotional conversation, it's very clear that the boy would be unable to do this. And the father then has to just now think about all the scenarios that he might find himself in. Could he himself kill the boy in front of these people if push came to shove? If the gun didn't work, would he be forced to use something else around him to kill this boy he's been taken care of? He loves this child. And would, in some way, is this the more humane decision than what the other possibilities are? It's a super intense moment. We'll analyze it in class. The father is put in a situation where he's constantly trying to think about when the time has come. Have they reached the point? A point where his wife, early in the novel, has pointed out, you'll never be able to make that decision. You'll never be able to do it. In this section, we talk a lot about promises. The promises that have been made verbally and the promises that are made in an unspoken manner. And the promise between a father and a son, the idea, it centers around protection. And this is the complete opposite of this. And the problem is, in many ways, killing the son rather than having him be captured would be, in its sense, protection. But it's so abstract, so difficult to wrap your head around, that this is actually the better of the two scenarios. It's just unnatural. And we've talked a lot about with this text, what is natural, what is unnatural. What have we applied to our mindset when it comes to what it means to live or what it means to be in a community that is based around our current circumstances that are usually rather cushy? And when you strip all this away, and it comes down to the ultimate safety of a person. At what point is the safest thing to do for someone is to kill them? Is not exactly an easy thing to stomach and or consider. But this is where this is centered. And ultimately, the father decides not to kill the boy, not to run away, and they stay together. And they're able to escape far enough away to go back to hunting for food. But he also, during this section, starts teaching the boy about what is at risk here. Yes, both the boy and the father know they are starving. It's an unspoken constant. But what is at risk if they get captured, the idea of someone capturing them to kill and eat them or to maim them and eat them? The idea of just being eaten becomes part of this, not by animals, but by other humans. And the boy desperately wants his father to promise them that they will never eat another person, that they will remain the good guys. And one of the basic understandings of this child's mind, we have to remember, there's a purity to it, even in a world that is completely destroyed. So by the time they do reach the bunker, which we'll talk about here in a second, there's this idea that good guys never quit. And these simple sort of stereotypical phrases that would pop up about good versus evil, cliches, they remain true. In many ways, they are like a small, simple prayer that they say to one another about what it means to be good. Promising not to eat people might seem like a very abstract, sort of psychotic thing to or place to be in. But we have to remember when we talk about this, and we think about this, this is what we've been reduced to. This is a viable option for survival. And the emotional strain and stress that the father consistently goes through, and the idea of what it means to suffer, something that we will consistently talk about throughout this book, particularly the second half of it. What is a person able to take? What is a person willing to take? What can their body handle that their mind cannot? What can their mind handle that their body cannot? On top of the fact that this is not a mutual relationship. Yes, they are both gaining from this father-son relationship, but the father is not opening up to the son with all his stress. He has to bottle a lot of this up. The boy is free to be himself because he's with his father. He can be open. He can be honest. He can talk about his fear. Fear is essential to understanding the boy. Everything that he sees is fearful, particularly going into spaces where they feel like they could get trapped. There's a fear of being trapped from going to these homes. So by the time they are on their last leg and they can barely function, they discover the bunker. It's the salvation for both the characters and then the reader as well. That there's an opportunity to take a breath, take a breather, knowing that they can't stay there forever because other people will find it. And while the idea of building a community around this bunker could be a possibility, it's not realistic, or it's not something that the father believes is something that they can pull off. The only thing missing from the bunker seems to be the gun. But everything else is there, and they get this sort of reprieve. And as the father points out to the son, it's the riches of a vanished world. So we'll talk about this in class, the idea of what it means to vanish. As our world evolves and things disappear, we tend to replace them with things that we deem to be better, more efficient, more effective. But if we flipped it, and as we evolved in a negative direction and things became less efficient, less effective, more challenging, how would our mindset have to react? How would we have to adjust ourselves? Is it possible to go backwards? Or is it a situation like this where it's such an extreme, you're left with no choice in that jarring manner? But is there a way to readjust or recalibrate yourself to find a way to survive when everything that you've known and understood has been stripped away, even the way humans behave with one another? The concept of not being able to stay, even though all the amenities are there, is difficult because there's fear not just in maintaining the food and starving, there's fear of running into just one other person. Every person is a danger. And if you look at that, if we think about it that way, and how different our society is today, our modern society does not see people like this. But the world is broken to the point where just one other person entering a bunker full of food is cause not just for alarm, is cause for extreme violence, and particularly battle in a one-on-one warring sense. Everyone in this story is constantly in a state of war, not just against other people, but against the elements, and at times against their own mind and decision-making.